Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are in Perek Dalet, we're in chapter 4. We have set up this letter that is going to go from the Samaritans to the royal authorities in Persia, to try to get them to block the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, that construction which had been permitted by Cyrus, and in fact supported by Cyrus. They're trying to get King Artaxasta to halt that construction. Now, you could read this letter straight, and basically the way to read the letter straight is that the Samaritans send a message saying, you should know the Jews are going to build up their defenses, and then they're going to stop paying their taxes to you in Persia, and they're going to rebel against you. But that's a problematic read for a very basic reason. At this stage in the story, the Jews are not building up any defenses. The Jews are not authorized to and have no project to build up defenses. This is just about building a Beis HaMikdash. So what exactly is the allegation that is going on here? What are they claiming? So that's what we're going to need to see as we go through this with the help of the Malbim, who notices some nuances and offers a very interesting read of what's happening here in this story. One thing that complicates our reading of this is that the letter is presented in Aramaic, and it's not like an easy Aramaic. It's not the kind of familiar Aramaic that you would have if you, let's say, do Shnai Mikra with Onkelos or you learn Gemara. It's a little bit awkward. And there are a couple of double meanings going on within the text, as Malbim is going to highlight. So let's see what we can do here with this. So we start in chapter 4, sentence 7. Uvimei Artaxasta, and in the days of King Artaxasta, and we spent some time already talking about which king was Artaxasta, I'm not going into that discussion right now. Kasav, Bishlam Misridas Tavel Ushar Knavosav al Artaxasta Melech Paras. So here you already have a challenge. Kasav means he wrote. That's good enough. Bishlam. So Bishlam may be, as Rashi sees it, as Bishlom, with the greetings of, right? In the peace of, with the peaceful greetings of. That's one way to read it. Professor Zir Kavod in the Dat Mikra says, no, Bishlam is actually the name of the first person writing the letter, because then it goes on with Misridas Tavel. So Bishlam is actually a name, according to Professor Zir Kavod, and that's certainly a way to read it. It could be a name of one of the people who are sending the message, or it could be the name of a person writing the letter. In other words, my name is Bishlam, and here is the letter. Okay, letter goes to Artaxasta, king of Persia. It's sent by either Bishlam Misridas Tavel, or just Misridas Tavel Ushar Knavosav, and the rest of the allies. Al Artaxasta Melech Paras Uchsav Hanishtavan Kasuv Aramis Umsurgam Aramis. That is a very interesting phrase. The way to read that, Ksav Hanishtavan. One second, just looking in my own notes here to make sure that I remember that correctly. Yes, Ksav Hanishtavan says this is the text of the letter. This is the text of the form that is being sent. Kasuv Aramis is recorded in Aramaic, Umsurgam Aramis, and it is translated in Aramaic. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi says it doesn't mean translated Misurgam, it means explicit. It was written in Aramaic, meaning in Aramaic script, and it was explicit in Aramaic. However, Professor Zer Kavod says, and this is going to play into the Malbim, that what we're saying is the letter was written originally in Persian. That was the way it was originally sent. But as it is recorded in Sefer Ezra, it's translated into Aramaic. In other words, Sefer Ezra is not going to include the Persian text, but rather what we're told here, Ezra is saying, is it was written in Aramaic. It's being written here in Aramaic, translated into Aramaic. The original was Persian. Keep that in mind, the idea that this is not the original text of the letter, and you'll see why this is going to matter. Sentence 8. Rechum Ba'el Te'im. Rechum the officer, Rechum the advisor, perhaps. Vishimshai Safra, and Shimshai the scribe. Two names which we did not just see when we mentioned Bishlam Misradas Tavel, right? We have two new names, Rechum the officer and Shimshai the scribe. Medrash, by the way, in Esther Rabbah says that Shimshai is actually a son of Haman. Remember that this story can be going on before the events of the Purim story. Ksavu Igra Chada Al Yerushalayim. They wrote a letter about or against Jerusalem. L'Artachshasta Malka Kinema. To King Artachshasta, as we are about to read. So here is where things get interesting. Rechum and Shimshai. So Rashi just says they are the scribes who are writing the letter. However, Malbim says that not so fast. Bishlam is the fellow who's writing the letter before. Possibly Bishlam, Misradas, and Tavel are the ones who are writing the letter before. So what these people are actually translators. The Rechum and Shimshai, who are mentioned in sentence 8. And he says the way it worked was, this is different from what we were saying before about the Aramaic, the way it worked before, the way it worked in this period was, the Persians had a broad and sprawling empire. People wrote letters to the Persian government all the time. The job of the letter writer was to write it in their own language. The letter then arrives in Persia, and it is translated from the native language to Persian. That's the way that it worked. And then the king would have a letter written back in Persian, and again, the translators would have the job of translating it into the local language. So that, again, to be clear, the letter is being sent, the letter is being translated into Persian, the letter then, the response from the Persians is written in Persian, and then these translators have to translate it back into the language of whoever is at the destination. This is going to be a big deal, Malbim's point here, as you'll see. But let's start seeing the letter itself. Edayin, at this point, Rechum be'el ta'im v'shimshai safra ush'ar k'navazhon, Rechum, Shimshai, and their allies. And now we list. Dinaye afarsat... I'm gonna have a hard time myself here. Afarsaschye, tarpalaye, aforsiye, arkevaye, bavlaye, shushanchaye, dehave el maya. No, sorry, dehave el maya. These are all nations. You may have recognized some words in them. Arkevaye, people from Erech. Afarsaye, people from Persia. Bavloye, Babylonians. Shushanchaye, people from Shushan. These are all people who are living in the area where the Samaritans are living. These are all populations who are now called Samaritans. Ushar umaya dihagli asnapar rabba v'yakira. These are all nations who are exiled by Asnapar, the great Asnapar, who's a reference to some Assyrian general or king. Vahosev himo bekirya dishamrayin. They were placed in the cities of the Samaritans, of the Shomron, Ushar Avar Nahara, and the rest of this province known as Aver Hanahar, the side of the river, this whole area. Uch Enes, and they say, now, here's our message. This is the message in the letter that they sent to him, Al Artachshasta Malka, to King Artachshasta. Avdach Enesh Avar Nahara Uch Enes. Us, your people who are your servants in this region called Ever Nahar, the area by the river. Uch Enes, and here is our message. So this message is coming to the Persians from various populations who are now living in the area of the Shomron. Yedia lahave, we're in Pasuk Yud Beis, sentence 12. Yedia lahave lamalka, may it be known to the king. Di Yehudaye di Salikum in Levasach, those Jews who left you, Alena Asoli Rushalayim, they have come to Yerushalayim, Kiryasa Maradita Ubishta Banayin. They are building a rebellious and bad city. Vishuraya, and the walls, shachlalu, they have reinforced. V'ushaya, those walls, yachitu, They have measured them with a thread, if I remember correctly, is what Yachitu should be read as. No, the Dat Mikra says it means that they're joining them as with a thread. They are either way, the point is they're building up the walls of Yerushalayim. Ka'an yediyah lahavei l'malka, may it be known to the king. Dihen kyo yasa doch tis b'nei, this city is going to be built up, v'shuraya yishtachlu, and the walls are going to be reinforced. And you know what's going to happen? Minda below v'halach la yintanun, they're not going to pay the king's taxes once they have walls. They're not gonna send you tribute. Vapsom Malchim to Hanzeik, and there will be harm done to the king. These Jews are building up the walls of Yerushalayim, and when they do that, you're gonna have problems with the Jews who left you. Note the wording, by the way, back in sentence 12, when they started the content of the letter, these Jews who left you, as opposed to the Jews you sent, which would be more of an accusation. So it could be they're deliberately saying the Jews who left you, as opposed to the Jews you sent, or maybe they don't believe the Jews that Cyrus actually licensed them. Maybe they really believe it's Jews who just left Cyrus instead of Jews who were sent by Cyrus. Either way, they say these walls are being built up. Ibn Ezra says that may refer to the foundations, not just the walls. Yachitu, they are going to be yachitu. So Rashi says the walls will be joined together, tied together, like stitched together. Ibn Ezra says that it's like chut, a plumb line. That was where I got the idea that the walls were being measured. But the Jews are building up the walls of the city. Well, wait a minute. The Jews are not building up the walls of the city. So this is where Malbim's idea pays off. Malbim says that what happened was Rechum and Shimshai were not the original letter writers. Rechum and Shimshai are Persians. The original letter writers wrote the letter in a vague way, such that it could be read to say that they are building a rebellious city. That could be the way to read it. However, and Malbim goes into this in detail, but since not everybody listening to this has an Ezra in front of them, I'm not going to spend time on the nuances of the specific words. But you could legitimately translate this as saying they're building a rebellious city, or to say, no, they're building the Beis HaMikdash. You could legitimately read it that way. The point being that the Persian translators are being bribed to translate it in the harsher way, the false way, that the Jews are building up the city. Because when the king hears that the Jews have gone beyond building the Beis HaMikdash, and instead they're actually building up the city and they're building up defenses, he's going to say, I never licensed them to do that. Cyrus never licensed them to do that. And then he's going to halt the construction. And in the event that he actually sends people to investigate, and those investigators find out the Jews are not building up the walls, the answer will be, oops, my bad. I translated it incorrectly. That must not have been what they meant. That's the point. There is a middleman, a translator, who has plausible deniability because he's not actually there on the ground in Judea in order to see what's going on. So that's the way that they're going to defeat the Jews here is via these intermediary translators. Okay, there's more to say. God willing, we will pick up with the rest of the letter tomorrow.